Welcome to TBF, a Browns fans podcast.
It always feels better when you win. Oh, the Browns doing it with defense and enough offense to make it work. And they even stole a touchdown from us, but they couldn't stop us.
No.
Yeah, they were. How'd that go, Hugh? They were playing for 24 on the 24th, and they won by 24.
Right.
All right. Dude,
talk about... What do they call that? What's the word? Damn, I can't think of the word, but that, oh man.
That's a synchronicity.
Yes.
Synchronicity.
How about
Browns sporting the number one defense in a number of categories, like not points allowed, but yards allowed, touchdowns allowed, and third downs allowed. Nobody even comes close. The Cleveland Browns are the fucking bomb. They are not the overall number one defense, because if you look at it from a points for and against standpoint, Cowboys are still number one. Okay? But just all how you look at it when you start talking about this, well, who's the number one defense? But the Browns are right there. And if you had to say, well, which defense is number one? Well, it's one of three defenses. That's Frisco, Cleveland, or Dallas, and Dallas just had an aw shit weekend. Okay.
Yeah, they did.
So, having said that, and having beaten the Tennessee Titans in Cleveland, and waiting for the Ravens to come to town, this is TBF, a Browns fans podcast, and we're going to break it all down for you today. I think we go right into the game and start talking about some of these fucking numbers that this defense is putting up. Just look at this. Ryan Tannehill. And this is one of the better performances that the Browns have allowed from a quarterback. Okay. 13 of 25 for 104 yards, along a 33, a quarterback rating of 62.8.
Wow, and that's one of the better ones. Wow, that's
right,
crazy.
Right. Now, here's the thing. Come on, what's their running back's name?
Derrick Henry.
Yeah, Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry, the guy that many argued is a better running back than Chubb. Not nobody from Cleveland argued that, but certainly many have. The Browns held him to 11 carries for 20 yards. An average, to get this, 1.8 a carry, a long of 9. So 9 of those 20 yards came on one carry. You got me? So the other 10 yards he carried for 11, the other 10 carries he did for 11 yards, which is 1.1 a carry.
Okay. To hear it from Derrick Henry, he says Nick Chubb is the best, so I take his word.
Well, that was a couple years ago when Nick Chubb was clearly statistically the best. Okay. That's not, I don't think that Derrick Henry in his mind goes to sleep at night saying Nick Chubb's a better running back than me. I don't believe that. Okay. I think that Derrick Henry got shut the fuck down by the Browns defense. That's what I think.
Yeah. Okay. We sure did. We played the run well.
Now, let's just say on the other side of the ball, guys, the Browns managed a combined effort for 78 yards. Thank God the passing game was working. Okay.
Right.
By the way, a combined effort of 31 carries for 78 yards for a whopping 2.5 a carry. Starting running back Jerome Ford got 1.8 a carry. Deshaun Watson got 4 yards a carry. Kareem Hunt 2.6. The back that looked the best out of the bunch, Pierre Strong. 6 for 27, 4.5 a carry, along of 9.
Wow.
And that's just some stats to show you that what you think you learn one week might not be what you know. But I think that given three straight performances like this, if the Browns can come out on Cleveland Stadium's field on Sunday and defend home in such a way where they put down another performance like they have, I think it's going to be time to really say, this defense is something special.
Yeah.
But it's show me time now, guys, because the Ravens are coming to town, and the Ravens are coming to town licking some wounds because they lost a game they weren't supposed to lose.
The funniest part of the defense was when the Titans were sending two tight ends back and forth, and Miles kept going back and forth, and then they couldn't snap the ball.
Well, no, they were following Miles is what they were doing.
Right.
Okay, exactly. That's why they were going back and forth. They weren't sending the tight ends going back and forth. The tight ends had the instructions to keep on Miles, and Miles was taking them back and forth.
Okay. Right. I thought that was funny.
He said, hey, you know, I have nothing else to do. They were following. If you're going to follow me, let me give you somewhere to follow me to.
Yeah.
Oh. It was fantastic. It was fantastic.
This defense is fun to watch.
They are. Jeff, any thoughts on the game? Something that stuck out in your head outside of, oh, shit, Deshaun looks like he might remember how to play quarterback.
Amari Cooper could possibly be, I mean, I know we have Myles Garrett on our team and we have Nick Chubb, but he makes for a three-headed monster because he is very skilled at his position. This man was hit. There were at least two pass interferences before they finally started calling pass interference.
Yep.
Okay. They took a play away from him. Okay. The dude was, he had guys all over him. This is a guy that they said lost a step. And you got cornerbacks, one of the better secondaries in the league, supposedly holding him.
Okay.
That was my biggest takeaway from it, that Amari Cooper is he might be the best receiver we've had in the recent history of the Browns.
Yeah, in a long time.
Probably dating back to 90s.
Not since Paul Hubbard have we had a guy that... Oh, I'm just playing.
No, Paul Warfield.
No, Paul Hubbard. You remember? You remember Paul Hubbard, right?
Not really.
He was a really fast receiver we got. I think it was like a second round pick. But he'd get open in the end zone, but then his arms would just be flailing around and he just couldn't make any catches. He couldn't catch anything. He'd be open, but he couldn't catch anything.
That was my honest takeaway. Watson was accurate. Watson looked good. He had one thing that made you wonder where you tried to throw in the backfield.
What the hell was that?
The defense was stellar. Weird. Ward was very good in that game. Ward was very good.
I was listening to another podcast today, and they talked about the Deshaun Watson play, and they said that was so Jameis of him.
Yes.
I didn't know we had Jameis Winston on the team.
But my biggest takeaway really was Amari Cooper is just really good.
Hell yeah. Boy, then he got robbed on that one where they called him out of bounds, clearly in bounds.
Yeah, but to me, it was besides all of that. He really made the other team do things that gave us big yards.
Okay, guys, I want to bring something to the attention of Browns fans. Listen to me. And a lot of times there are publications, that purport themselves to be in the interest of Browns fans. Like Dog Pound Daily, right?
Right.
Okay. Dog Pound Daily. Let me just, this is going to blow you away. AFC North Power Rankings, Week 4. Browns leapfrog Ravens. Okay, that's great. But listen to this shit. This is, they're saying the power rankings of the teams in the division. So here we go. You ready for this? Number 4, the Cincinnati Bengals. That's not a surprise, given the play this year.
Right.
Okay. Number 3, the Baltimore Ravens. Okay. Now, this is where it gets weird. This is in the Dog Pound Daily. I'm reading this out of. Number two in the division power rankings. They're saying the Cleveland Browns. So that means they're saying that the number one team power rankings in the division, the Dog Pound Daily is saying that the number one team in the division power ranking is the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think that any self-respecting Browns fan should cease and desist from reading Dog Pound Daily yesterday.
They must have lost their mind before they went crazy.
They were doing mushrooms or something when they wrote that shit. I can tell you that.
Some type of hallucinogenics.
Yes. But anyway, I just thought that Browns fans everywhere should know this and act accordingly.
Right.
The only reason I went back and looked at it was as a service to Browns fans. Okay.
Right.
Fucking idiots. How about the Miami Dolphins? And do you think they're still asking, is Tua for real?
Yeah.
You think he's really that good?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think
I don't know, man.
Yeah, I think so. Like,
that's awful lucky if you're just luck, you know?
Yeah, I mean, dude, it's just amazing. Amazing. And Mike McDaniels, I'm telling you, he's fucking insane. He's
fucking. Dude, what is he? He's like a mad scientist and shit.
It's just crazy. And he hung 70 points on Sean Payton. Dude. And what's Russell Wilson have to be thinking? Because he had a pretty good game as a quarterback. But it didn't matter.
No. Sean Payton, what's he thinking?
Okay, guys. I like to spread good news. And of course, a Browns win's good news. But what's better news? Nick Chubb only tore the MCL. The ACL is intact. He's on a schedule of obviously healing and then rehab to be ready in 6 to 8 months, which would put him available for training camp next year.
Right. I did hear, and tell me if I'm wrong or right, that he did have a slight tear in the meniscus.
I don't know, Hugh. The report from Adam Schefter said that he tore the MCL. The ACL is intact, and that's all it said. Whatever else you heard, I believe is folks are making it up because there's not a lot of people getting these.
Came out after that said initially we thought.
Reported by whom? Okay, that's it. If you can't put a name to it. I should have had the article. Okay, remember now, there was a guy posted on Facebook that he was in ICU with arteries spurting blood everywhere. Turned out not to be true.
Like NBC or whatever. Okay.
I'm telling you is that the report that everybody's quoting by Adam Schefter said nothing about a meniscus. It said that he tore the MCL. The ACL is intact. Okay. That's the report that's out there that everybody else is reporting on from. Okay.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm just asking.
Well, yeah, but that's what I'm saying. You just go to the report. There's only a couple people that are going to have this information. Why do they have it? Because they're paying for it. Adam Schefter. You don't think that everybody just loves little Adam Schefter so much that they just tell him and nobody else, right? No, he pays for this information. That's how he started this shit, and that's how he's going to keep doing it. And that's who they're going to go to because that's who's paying. And if I'm wrong, I apologize, Adam, but there's no fucking way in the world you're getting all this inside information just because they love you. Because honestly, you're not that lovable. And so that's it. We don't know anything else because anything else is covered under HIPAA. Okay. You can't just go out telling a guy's whole medical record, but if you're Adam Schefter and you pay that guy for the information he gives it to you, then you can. Okay. And that's also why the reports are, while somewhat specific, sometimes also vague. Okay. Because we don't know. We know it was a tear of the MCL. We don't know if it was a complete tear, partial tear. We don't know. But we do know that the ACL is intact.
Yeah, it's just because it was just stretched. That's all.
Oh, well, yeah, though. Yeah, every goddamn thing in that knee was stretched. Okay. I saw that on film. They're like, that didn't look good. But to come back with that, off of that, that's good news. That's just flat out good news.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think reading into the two main things I saw about Chubb was what you're talking about, the report. Mm-hmm. And I guess there's an unrealistic, some views unrealistic time put on his recovery. Like, it's a little unhuman. If I put both of those together, that probably means that report is probably true.
Mm-hmm.
That he lucked up, did not tear nearly as much as what it looked like on film he did.
Yeah.
Because on the film, it does not look like, it looks like everything out of that. I'm super happy. And if you pair those two things together, I'm not too sure he's going to make that time scale they're saying.
Okay? Yeah, that's it. It is aggressive. I'll say that.
Yeah, I'm not sure he'll make that time scale that they're saying. But we also got to remember, look, just like you have LeBron and he does things with his body and his time to heal seems ridiculous on things sometimes. Chubb is a upper echelon of a freak athlete, and his conditioning and stuff, as we know, is ridiculous. Okay.
Yep.
Like, I mean, he's benching whatever ridiculous things and everything else. So there's no telling, you know what I mean? So I'm not expecting that he's actually going to make that time scale. But if you pair that time scale together with the report, it probably means it's fairly true. And we'll see him next season. And that's the main thing to worry about.
Couple things now.
ESPN HD Radio was saying that he is Superman.
Okay. So couple things. Like, one thing coming into the game, I see this article. The headline is Sunday the biggest game of Stefanski's career? Well, if it was, dude, he passed the test. I'll say that. Okay. And what did I get out of coach? I got what? Listen, I don't know. The whole misdirection play, you know, the side screen, the pitch back, you know, the other, it's like, oh my God, we're doing the Harlem Globetrotter shit here. Listen, it worked. Okay. It worked. And how about that throw he put on DPJ? That back shoulder throw that all he had to do was just turn around and just open his arm. There was the ball. That was great. But going into this game, you know, one of the complaints about Stefanski is, like, you've said it yourself, Hugh, no emotion, right? Well, dude, he was chest bumping Deshaun Watson on the sideline. I saw that shit.
About goddamn time. Jesus Christ.
Okay, that was all right. That was cool with that. I don't know if you got a chance to, Jeff or Hugh, see the coach's locker room speech after the game.
I did not.
You should go watch it. It was a thing of beauty. You'd be proud of Kevin Stefanski. And they, you know, game ball went to Nick Chubb. Okay?
Yep.
It's hard not to feel like that fucking referee was trying to fix the game, okay? Because there was nothing that was even close to out of bounds about that. This wasn't even kind of close. Wasn't even kind of close.
I have a question on that, in that vein, and you guys can help me because you're real technical with it. If the booth upstairs that is directly related, their officials looking down on their own officials, if they see something called incorrectly, do they not have the ability to reverse it? I've seen calls reversed on the field without a challenge.
You don't understand. The whistle was blown, Hugh. If that whistle had been blown inadvertently, that play would have stopped. When the whistle blows, the play stops. Okay?
Man.
You can't review that. Whistle was blown.
That really, really, really sucked bad. That would have been a touchdown.
Well, sure it would have been. Thank God we didn't need it to win.
Yeah.
Okay? But it seems like every game that the Browns play, there's at least one call that's like, what the fuck are you on?
Yeah. You think if they start winning enough, they'll stop trying to make us lose?
I have no idea. But if they keep playing defense like that, it's not going to matter.
Right.
I swear to you, if they keep playing defense like that, it just won't matter.
Jeff, where did you watch the game? At home?
Yes, I did.
Okay. It was fun.
Yeah, that's where I was too, watching it at home. I'm like, yeah. Give me another chicken wing.
Fun to watch.
I was playing a chicken. I wasn't playing a drinking game. I was playing a chicken wing game. Every time the Browns score. I'm glad I wasn't playing that chicken wing game watching the Dolphins. You know, you got to eat a chicken wing every time they score, right? You know.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you'd be fat.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, couldn't keep up.
Jesus. And then you'd have to go buy more wings. You'd have to go buy more wings at halftime.
Right.
And be fat.
Yeah. Just terrible. But that was the thing. I saw the fucking score. I was like, is that real?
Jeff, what did you see in Deshaun that was encouraging to you?
I mean, the only thing I saw, and it's the thing I commented on last podcast, is his accuracy. He completed most of all of his passes. And I would challenge that, being that he stuck to two receivers that generally gobble up passes. Amari Cooper started off the season good, and that game wasn't, I mean, the first game we played, it wasn't the best. I mean, he was top three of the seven times he was thrown to. But against the Steelers, Amari was gobbling up passes, and he came into the last game gobbling up passes. He was hard to cover for the Steelers, and he was hard to cover in this game. And I'm anticipating he's going to be that way for the rest of the season. The one thing I think that has gone unnoticed is that Cooper and Watson actually do have very good chemistry. Okay. The ball placement has just been pretty good to Cooper. Okay. And Cooper has been so tough to carry that you're sitting here in against the Titans and they held him half the time. There was at least two pass interferences before they finally called the first two. And the first two came pretty near each other. And that kind of stunned the Titans, I think, because once those pass interferences went down, they had to respect Cooper a little bit more. OK. And they had to change the way they were covering. They were getting by basically abusing him. OK. Got away with another one later in the game that probably should have been one. OK. So, I mean,
okay.
Here's another one. Back on Deshaun for one sec. I heard him in an interview after the Pittsburgh game, and he commented on, he says, I have to quit trying to do too much. He was not trying to do too much. And
one play, he clearly was.
One play.
Listen, I will tell you this. That ball doesn't get recovered. That ball gets picked up and run in for a touchdown. You're saying all different things about that bonehead fucking play.
I will put it this way. He did try to do too much at one point in the game. He settled down. Yeah. The thing to take out of his comments, and it's the same thing I said last game about Watson. He said the right thing. Let's see what he does with it. He says the right things. What is good about that is you could... I mean, there's lots of guys who say the right things and you wonder if it's just scripted with them. Someone told them to do it. But if he's saying the right things, making the moves towards it, all you can be is happy about the quarterback you have been. Because if he's saying the right things in response to what he's doing, it's not unnormal for a player, especially a player who's already played at a certain stature and people are expecting things from him, to try and do too much. That's not unnormal. Okay. I'm sure there was a time that Kobe Bryant was on the court and he tried to do too much.
Hey, okay. Hey guys, you ever heard Shaq tell the story about when Kobe won him over? He said, well, the guys were coming to him and saying, look, man, Kobe won't pass the ball, man. Kobe won't pass the ball. And he said, I'll talk to him. And he says, he goes to Kobe. And he says, Kobe, there's no I in team. He said, no, but there's an M-E in that motherfucker. He said he went back to the guy. He said, just get the rebound, man. He's not going to pass it. He's not.
Now, what I'm getting at with that is, though, any small star player of something.
Uh-huh.
Okay. they're going to, if it's like, if everything's coming down on them, they're going to try to do too much. Let's be for real right now. In the same sense that we're like, oh, Watson's trying to do too much. We are the fans that are sitting here. This dude better pan out.
Oh yeah. I was last year just as much saying he better try to do too much. He better.
In the same sense, if this dude has listened to any podcast, TV shows, or anything, the basic consensus is, well, you better live up to this price tag. So, and we're like, and he's trying to do too much. Of course, he's trying to do too much. What you should be impressed in is the fact that in the midst of all that, he's trying to do so much, he was able to settle himself down and have the game he had. No, it was not the most impressive.
No, it's not. He's clearly game, not back to 2020 form, but it's a good form.
He was as accurate as he's been on this team ever. This was his best.
This was his best game as a Brown. Best game as a Brown.
And that's where you want to start. You want to have that building.
Right. And at least he didn't have the monkey of Baker Mayfield on his back. Baker had a not so good game. Okay. You know, and the Bucs weren't supposed to win that game. Okay. So to speak, everybody knew the Eagles were going to win. But, you know, it was kind of, you know, compared to, you know, week one, week two, where you're looking at Deshaun and then you're looking at Baker. If you're a Browns fan, it's like, wait a fucking minute here.
And I'd like to point out, too, I mean, we could be sitting here right now because there would have been more time, more game, a different circumstance of momentum and chance. If they didn't call that Amari Cooper playback, Amari would have had 150 plus receiving yard game.
Okay? Oh, yeah.
That's why I'm saying Amari was ridiculously good in that game, and the stats don't actually show how good he was.
Well, you know, guys, you listen. Okay. I know I mentioned this, but what the fuck? I'm going to play it. I want you guys to hear Kevin Stefanski congratulate his teams, and he'll be going through some of the same specifics you were, Jeff. Here you go.
What was that most important word this week? Resilient. And who, if you want to be a resilient group, who do you need? Everybody. So we need Myles Garrett too. Good call. So we need Myles Garrett today, too. What I saw this week, I'll be honest, I saw this all week, was guys leaning on each other. We need each other, okay? In this season, it's hard. We need each other. And that's what I saw all week from this group, okay? And then what I saw on the field from that group, okay, how about this one? 2 for 2, Dustin, including a 52-yarder. Okay. On offense, how about that quarterback?
Okay, Q.
Yeah. Okay, Q. I think it. 27 of 33, 289, 2 touchdowns. Cooper. Seven for 116, a touchdown, and 3 penalties drawn.
Yeah. Let's keep having fun and let's keep winning.
Yeah.
Okay, first of all, let's talk about the defense. 6 first downs. Okay. 94 total yards. Yep. 12 on third down.
Oh, my God.
26 rushing yards. Five sacks, including 3.5 from number 95. Okay, talking about being a resilient bunch, okay? We need each other. The guy that we don't have here right this minute with us, but he's always with us, is number 24.
Yes, sir.
He's getting this game ball, okay?
Yes, sir.
Because he's so important to this team. This offense, this defense, this special teams. This team, number 24, means so much to us. I'm going to hand him this ball, okay? And he's with us the rest of the way. I appreciate you guys. Take care of each other. Team on three. 1, 2, 3.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah, yeah. That's the way you like to hear it. Now, it's easy. It's easy to be that way off a win. It really is. And that's, I want them to keep this rolling. I don't want them to have to deal with another loss this year.
No.
But it starts on Sunday, guys. The Ravens are coming to town.
It's going to be a tough game.
They are coming off of a loss. They're coming off a loss that they weren't supposed to suffer. Okay?
Nope.
Gardner Minshew, right? Isn't that who was quarterbacking for the Colts?
Yep, that was him. I was surprised.
Well, that's because Richardson is out. He's injured. But yeah, there you go. They got it done. Now they had to go to overtime to do it. But Lamar didn't look so hot. Okay.
I just wish the Raiders
and
would have
they
done
weren't
their job.
Even they weren't facing a defense that's nearly even close to what they're going to be looking at on Sunday.
Right.
That's the thing.
That's what I'm thinking. Like yeah. you haven't even had a defensive team really give it to you.
Well, the tail of the tape really tells it, guys. The Browns had 23 first downs. You know, in two of the Browns games this year, game one and week three, they only allowed the opponent 6 first downs. And that's how many the Texans had. That's it, 6.
Wow.
We had 23 first downs. They had 6.
Did you say the Texans?
Texans, Titans, whatever the fuck.
Oh, Titans. Okay, yeah, my bad. Okay. I was like,
don't
when
get,
did we play
don't
this?
Get stinky with me. Texans, Titans, they both start with T. And they both start with T, and there's 7 fucking letters. Okay, so, hey, you figured. And by the way, the first letter's T, the last letter's F and S in both of those. So you just put the letters in between. Make it whoever you want. The Tuftons.
6.
Wow. 6. That's it. 6. Okay. Now, third down efficiency. The Texans were 2 for 12, 16.7%. Now, here is the stark difference that gets you a win. The Browns were 6 of 13, 46.2%. All right. Total net yards, dudes, 94 to 341. That's it. That's the shit that wins you games. And of course, the numbers that matter. Red zone efficiency. Well, you know what? You know what the Titans' red zone efficiency was, right?
It was zip, wasn't it?
Well, no, they got in the red zone twice. They did get a number, but they got zeros everywhere else. They were 0 for 2, 0%. Browns were 2 for 2. There was no goal-to-goal efficiency for the Titans. They didn't ever get there. The Browns were 1 for 1. Time of possession, dude. The disparity is great. 21 minutes and 31 seconds for the Titans. The Browns, 38 minutes and 29 seconds. And what does that get you? A 27-3 win. Which, by all rights, because of that bad play, should have been a 34-3 win.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting. I think the you would think that the Ravens are going to be a formidable test for us at home.
To me, that's an understatement right now. I know they rated. I guess we just talked about someone rated the Steelers the best in the division.
I
right
know,
now.
Just like what?
Which is asinine to me. When
that's
right
asinine
now,
to anybody except whoever the idiot that wrote that article was.
Right now, definitely the scariest team in this division for us,
Ravens.
Is Baltimore. I know they lost against the Colts, and the Colts are were not viewed to be on one of the better teams going to see. But right now, you're still having things settle as far as who's going to be the best. Look, the Jaguars are supposed to be good; they're getting trounced. Okay. Yeah. So, that stuff is neither here nor there exactly yet. You still have to have things settle. I mean, we still don't know exactly what the Bengals are, okay? I mean,
yeah.
Remember, we had the same thing out of the Bengals last year. Well, look, they had the same thing out of the Bengals last year where they started off slow, and then they all of a sudden the Bengals were one of the best teams again in the league, okay? So... To me, you're not seeing exactly what you're going to see out of football teams until week 5. To me, once you get around week 5 and you see all the records and the stats and the common play and the rankings, that gives you an idea how it's going to be for the rest of the season. Then right now the Browns are in good position. Our defense has held up really good through three games. This is our first elite test to me is Baltimore. Okay. I do not think any team we've played thus far, okay, I would consider a team that is in the elite category of what we're going to play here from here on out. I don't think any of them.
I'll say this. I'm glad I don't have the Dolphins on my schedule right now. And again, if you make the playoffs, you might have to play them. But by then, this defense will have solidified itself as maybe the number one defense in the league. And that's a thing that's going to come with consistency, guys. If they can come out and pitch this kind of game defensively with any kind of consistency past these first 3 weeks, this is going to go down as one of the better defenses to have ever played. I think what I'm seeing with Jim Schwartz,
what they've done,
I think what I'm seeing with Jim Schwartz is that they are definitely capable of doing that.
Yeah,
I mean, I'll even put more to that in this. A long while back, I went to see a Panthers game back when Julius Peppers was on the Panthers.
Oh yes,
and at the end of that Atlanta Falcons Panthers game, Julius Peppers sealed the game for them. He came up with two big sacks on their last drive and ended that game, basically.
Yeah.
Or one of the last drives. He ended that game himself on defense. Myles Garrett, last game, before the half, he came up with a sack that ended their drive, iced it. Okay. Yes. That was actually when they would have scored in this game. He iced that and killed the drive. Okay.
Drive. That was off the turnover. Is that where they finally got their field goal?
No, they didn't get a field goal there.
Okay.
They'd already got the field goal by then. They were going to put 10 points up with this one.
I got you.
They were possibly going to score a touchdown, put 10 up or a field goal. He iced that sacking in the middle of the field. He killed that entire any chance they had of doing anything. And what I was going to say is that is where you find elite defense. That is when you're putting your star defensive player in a position to destroy and demoralize the other team.
Right.
Those are the kind of things that you used to get out of Reggie White.
Yeah. What I thought was one of those kind of situations was when they scored the field goal. Remember, guys, that was one of their red zone trips. That was the red zone trip they scored on. But the Browns set them back every play from scrimmage after that fumble recovery. Okay. Mm-hmm. They went backwards. They had to settle for a field goal.
But that's what I'm getting at with that is to me, they got the field goal. Okay.
But the victory was the Browns. I mean,
right. What I'm saying is that iced play before the half though, cause they walked off the field, not getting points, Myles Garrett getting a sack. That's demoralizing. Okay.
Oh yeah, absolutely. That's imposing your will.
And that is what this team has missed on defense for so long. Yes, they have very skilled players on our defense, but you're missing the putting them in. Schwartz has come right in and he's done something to be able to put guys in position. We did not have that before. That is one thing you can notice, and it's been in all three games. He's put them in positions for them to make plays that demoralize.
Okay.
Before we get how many sacks, 20 sacks in a season from Myles Garrett, and almost none of them would come in demoralizing time. Not in a time it's had the other team says, dang, they got a sack right there. That is, you gotta be kidding me. Those are the kind of sacks that win games on defense because it does more, it kills momentum. So much in sports are about momentum. And that's what I think was fun to see about our defense last game. And what could make this defense special. If you think about all the defenses in the past that have been special. Okay. Think about the Ravens where Lewis used to make plays at timely manners that were like, make you throw your hands in the air. Okay. That's when you know you got a defense. And this year they have a defense because they've done that in at least two different games here. Okay.
Right.
I mean, yeah.
Yes. Well, let's be honest. They really did it against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Listen, the defense.
They did.
The defense has only allowed one touchdown. The 14 points that the Steelers defense scored can't be put on our defense.
Okay. No, I mean, I'll actually go back to that. What was impressive about our defense in the Steelers game to me is Miles didn't do that great in that game. Okay. We had a demoralizing sack that would have done the same thing had we not had the turnovers and things happening. Okay. Mm-hmm. That our middle of our defensive line came up with. Our two guys in the middle came right through, sacked them, killed the drive. I mean, you could say from there, we should have won from there. Okay. Right.
But again, if it ain't for two defensive scores, we definitely do.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, one of them came at the very beginning of the game. Okay. I'm just saying.
I'm really impressed with Delpit and the linebackers. And when you get that push up the middle, linebackers can do their job.
Well, yeah, they can, but they may not need to either. Okay. If you get that kind of push up, I mean, the kind of push they're getting in the middle is unprecedented. Listen, everybody expected the Browns defense to be better. Everybody. Nobody in the league, knowing who they acquired in the offseason from a personnel standpoint and who they brought in to coach this defense, thought that the Browns defense was going to be the same or worse. But nobody thought they were going to be this, except maybe some Browns fans. Okay, but
yeah, that's a homer.
That's a homer view, but this is the real deal, guys. And people around the league are starting to wake up and say, I mean, because I've had a couple of analysts on, you know, the NFL Network, Rich Eisen, and some other people that are getting close to saying, I haven't seen defense like this since the 2000 Ravens.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now they're not saying that yet, and the Browns need to do more before they're even deserving of those comments. Okay. Let's be honest, but it's starting to look really good. Okay. What I found interesting, was just the overall performance of the defense. And we had a key defender out. Greg Newsom was out with a hyperextended elbow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, you know, and he'll probably be back for the Ravens game, I would think.
Who came in for him?
I don't know, but it didn't matter, did it?
No, I think I remember the name.
The fact that you don't know, but the fact that you don't know means it didn't matter. Okay? I'm just saying, the fact that you don't know who that was is good, because if you did, it wouldn't be for good reasons.
The name's on the tip of my tongue, and he did a good job. That's all I know.
Well, yeah, he did, because the fact that you, like I said, if you knew who it was, it wouldn't be because he had subbed well, okay? You'd be calling his name because he didn't, okay? The fact that you can come out of that game and say, who is that that played for, you know, in Greg Newsom's place? The fact that you don't know means he did fine. You know, you're not hearing DeJuan Jones' name called all over the place at right tackle. Because why? Because he's doing his job. Now, Jedrick Wills is, he's catching hell, and rightfully so. Okay. The Browns really need to be in the market for a left tackle. Okay. I'm serious.
Well, I mean, our corners that played in that game were Mike Ford, Cameron Mitchell, Emerson, Newsom.
No, Newsom didn't play. Newsom didn't play.
As soon as he played, they got stats from him in this game right there. Right here.
Nope, Newsom didn't play. He was out. He was on.
Maybe you're right. Maybe I was looking at the wrong game here. Yeah, I was looking at the wrong game.
Yeah, because he hyperextended his elbows against the Steelers.
Yeah, wrong game.
I was going to say, because. Now, either that or whoever's ever collecting stats for that game, they need to be fired. You guys keep talking. I have to grab a bottle of water here.
I'm just interested in who played in for Newsom. Trying to back into it, and I can't.
It was a guy in a Browns uniform.
I mean, well, what I can tell you is it's one of those guys I just mentioned. And I don't think it was Emerson, because I think Emerson was still was playing the.
Yeah, I thought it was Emerson, too. So I'm probably wrong.
I don't think it was Emerson.
It was it was Hurst.
It was Hurst. OK.
Yeah.
OK. Thank you.
Or it could have been
that
Walker.
Was gonna bother me.
It could have been Walker.
No, it wasn't Walker.
Maybe it was Emerson. I have no idea.
Anyway, who knows?
I know Emerson was on the field quite a bit.
Well, yeah, but Emerson starts the other side from Ward.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
That's what I thought. So, okay. So, yeah.
So, Cameron Miles Mitchell. Garrett had 4 tackles, 1 assist, 5 combos, 2.5 sacks. That was first half numbers, okay?
Like it would have. Could have been Cameron Mitchell.
Where's the second?
I can't. But in general, I mean, stat-wise, the defense looked really good stat-wise, too. I mean, I think what they had 5 sacks.
Right.
He was replaced by Martin Emerson Jr. Yep.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So here's an interesting thing, and it's something nobody ever thinks about. Nobody ever thinks about this, okay? And you see these, they give these stats at the end of the playbook. If playtime percentage, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, all 5 of your offensive linemen, okay? 71 plays, 100%. They're the only people on offense 100%, with the exception of one. And who would that be? Well, come on, offensive snaps. Who's the other guy that's going to play 100%?
Center?
Deshaun Watson, except no, he didn't. He only played 66 Deshaun snaps, Watson. 93%, because remember, last two series, they had the backup come in. They took Deshaun out.
Oh, that's right.
Which I thought was a smart thing.
Dorian Thompson Robinson played 5 snaps, 7%.
Handed off the ball mostly.
Now, the biggest defender, who do you think had the most snaps on defense?
Taki Taki.
No, both your safeties and one corner. They all played 46 plays. That was Grant Delpit, Juan Thornhill, and Martin Emerson.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Okay. They played 46 snaps. Next was Denzel Ward with 44 snaps at 92%. And then it goes down from there. How many snaps do you think Miles Garrett played in?
25 snaps.
Oh, no. More than
I'm
that.
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
37. Well, only 77% of snaps. Only 77% of snaps was Miles Garrett on the field in.
I was going to say 35, but... Interesting enough, I mean, Miles is actually, and this is after Miles really didn't, he did not have his best performance in the second game. So through the 3 games, our team leaders on quarterback hits are Miles Garrett by a mile. He has 10.
Right.
Za'Darius Smith with 4.
What's his season sack total right now?
He is at 4.5.
Only four? No, he had 4.5 in the game.
He's at 4.5 for the season.
No, he had 4.5 in the game.
He had 3.5 in the game.
So he'd only had 1 sack.
1 sack.
Really?
Yeah. He did not get anything against the Steelers. That's why I was saying he didn't have his best game. He had only one tackle against the Steelers. All of that. So most of these stats are through his 2 really good games.
Mm-hmm.
So you. 10 quarterback hits he's acquired. He leads the team in tackles for loss with 4. He's only had 1 assist tackle. He's 4th on the team with 7 totals. His combined tackle is 8, obviously, with the 1 in the and the 1 in the 7. He has 4.5 sacks. Closest to him is I can never pronounce his name correctly. OG.
Owusu-Koramoah.
Yes. Taki Taki and Alex Wright, both 1.5, 1-1. And yeah, from there, those are most of your line stats that aren't going to be gobbled up by secondary here after that. But yeah, he's having a good season. I mean, other than that one game, he's been the leader on defense pretty much. He's getting tackles. He's getting everything. Defense is looking real good. We have not talked much on the situation that to me is still very unclear. People are giving him his due credit, and I think he deserves due credit. He had a good game. It just to me was not some it wasn't work of art necessarily from a strictly ground standpoint of like gobbling up yards, but Jerome Ford had a serviceable game at running back.
Serviceable is listen, he caught a touchdown. But yes. His running stats.
He also
were,
ran in for a touchdown.
Okay. That's great.
Which was his only good run, though.
But his running stats, guys, his running stats for the game, just in a vacuum, you just hear these running stats, okay? If you're a struggling Browns team and this is what you're getting out of your running back, you are fucking complaining. You are not praising this. 10 attempts for 18 yards, 1.8 a carry. That was his stats. I'm sorry. And yes, he ran for a touchdown and he caught a touchdown. So a 2 touchdown performance, I don't care if it comes with negative yards, it's a good thing.
Yes. Yes. Now what I'll put from that is his best run of the game was his touchdown.
Yeah. 9-yard run, 9-yard run. That was it.
Right. So,
but wait, let's just take that away. Yeah. Take his 9-yard run away. Okay. And then that gives you 9 runs for 9 yards at literally 1 yard a carry. Okay.
How many other times did the backs get the ball? Well, how many times did we run total?
We ran a total of 31 times for 78 yards. Again, we've covered this already in this podcast. Pierre Strong had the best statistics of any rusher for the Browns. He had 6 attempts for 27 yards, 4.5 a carry.
Yes. Okay. Now, and by the way, I saw 2 of his runs and I was like, and I even said after his second run, I was like, maybe they should run him more.
I was like, who's this guy?
Now
he took over for Demetric Felton.
Yeah. Now to more credit to point though, it's not we played a fall over dead defense on the run game. They are very good.
Well, yeah. Okay. I mean, they held us to a combined total of 78 yards, guys. Okay.
Yeah. So both teams took the run out of the game for.
Well, I mean, and for the Titans, it made total sense.
Right.
I am going to shut your run game down and make you beat me with Deshaun Watson.
Right.
Oh, it did. And it didn't work. And I'm glad it didn't.
Okay. I found some statistics, guys. And so if anybody wants to know, you go to the football database and you can get this. And statistically, the Browns are the number 1 overall defense in the league. Okay?
That's not hard for me to believe right now.
Okay,
I
mean, right now in this order, here are the top 5. Okay? The Cleveland Browns, number 2, who you think it is?
San Francisco.
Titans? Absolutely not. The Buffalo Bills.
The Buffalo Bills.
Number three is the San Francisco 49ers. Number four is the Dallas Cowboys. And number five is the New England Patriots. Okay. The Browns have allowed the least amount of yards, 163.7 yards per game. All right. The Browns have allowed the least in total yards, 491. You know what the number two defense has? 759. Okay. Wow. 300 yards. Okay. What is that? Pass yards per game. Pass yards, 335 the Browns have allowed. Pass yards per game, 111.7, which is like 30 yards above or below, if you will, the next guys, which is the Bills with 142.3 a game. Rush yards, it ain't even close. The Browns have allowed 52 a game, a total of 156 for three games. Points per game, 10.7 points per game. The Buffalo Bills are at 11.7 points per game. Now, where it gets weird is the number three defense, and that's why these are aggregate scores. They've allowed 14 points a game, while the Dallas Cowboys at number four have only allowed 12.7. Total points, the Browns have allowed 32. The Bills, 35. The 49ers, 42. The Cowboys, 38. And the New England Patriots, 59.
And the even more to the exacerbate that, understand if you're digging deeper into the numbers, the defense technically didn't even allow those points in that Steelers game, which drives that up.
Exactly. Exactly.
The offense allowed those.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, the defense is like, you owe me 14 fucking points. That's to the offense. Yeah.
Right now, like, we'd be sitting with a mighty cushion on that stat total as well.
You know what? If
it weren't for that.
Everybody was out there talking about how the Titans were going to beat us. I'm like, okay, whatever. Man, we certainly proved them wrong. I think we're going to fare pretty well against the Ravens.
I think, well, I'll tell you this. This is what I'm going to say about the Ravens, okay? Where we just won a game being able to shut down the other team and blah, 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 blah. And our quarterback beat their quarterback. Our quarterback had a great game, was able to carry us. Understand that the reason the Ravens are good, okay, is because they have a type of team. Now, obviously, their running is not what it should be right now. Okay, and we should take advantage of that in the next game, just like we did, just like we've done in the run. We should make Lamar have to beat us. Okay, but understand though, okay, of all the teams in our division, he is a quarterback that can himself beat you. Okay.
Okay, so, guys.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I'm going to give this to you in all the different categories. Okay. We're looking at defense and we're looking at ranking. Overall, the Cleveland Browns are number one. In passing, the Cleveland Browns are number two to be followed. They're number one and the number two is Dallas Cowboys. Okay. In rushing, you'd think the Browns are number one, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you?
Yeah.
But they're not. The Philadelphia Eagles are the number one rushing defense. The Browns are number two. Okay.
Okay.
And kickoff returns. The Baltimore Ravens are number one against kickoff return. The Cleveland Browns are actually, let's see, 1, 2, 5, 6, 7. Not number nine. Okay. Again, that's special teams, but I'm just saying they break down to all these categories. Punt returns. Cleveland Browns are. Oh, they're way down there. Hell, yeah, they're way down. The Cleveland Browns are like number 20 something. Okay.
Well, that sucks.
Well, yeah, that's true. Now, scoring. For scoring, the Cleveland Browns are number one in scoring. Number one defense scoring. Least amount of points. Okay. And in downs, let's look at this. Cleveland Browns. So the Cleveland Browns are in. number one in most categories. Number two, where they're not number one in any of them that count. Okay? That is, again, only three games played. But
yeah,
that's significant, especially given that now we play the Ravens and then it's on to a bye. So
right,
any little nitinoid injuries and anything like that can be healed and you can get healthy. Okay, because it's the Ravens, then it's a bye, then it's the 49ers.
I agree with Jeff. It's going to take 5-6 weeks to know where what teams are and where they're at and what they really are. And
I mean, the other thing for us is our schedule so far has been what it is. I mean, we should be 3-0 through what we've played and what our schedule has been. Okay. We have the Ravens coming up next. To me, this is the first real game. Now granted, while I'm saying this, we usually beat Cincinnati. And what I'm saying is if the same thing happens as it did last year, because Cincinnati started off slow, we could be in here in week six and now Cincinnati's one of the best teams in the league. Okay. So, I mean, I say that, but we can probably hang a little bit more credence on that win than we should.
Well, over the past two seasons, guys, the Ravens series is like this, the home team win. So yes, should win.
Right. We should win. And what I was about to get as I dove deeper into what I was saying is Ravens to me are our first clear elite challenge to me, because I do think the Ravens are going to make the playoffs. They're going to be there. I really don't. Ravens are least question mark to me as any of the other teams in the division. Like I said, Joe Burrow still the quarterback over there. I would not be surprised if we get to week 6-7 and the Bengals have turned around and they're one of the top ranked teams in the league. Okay. I wouldn't be surprised in that. But right now, the Ravens are clearly, they're a good team. We have to come out to play that. And it is that is a statement win for our season. This is our first statement win. We should win this game going into a bye week so we can be ready for the 49ers. Okay. Now you get out of that division win, right, against your most elite opponent in the division. You go into San Francisco. If we beat San Francisco, okay, to me that is our hardest game of our next four. Okay,
yeah,
we should beat Indianapolis. Right. We should go in, especially with the way our defense is performing. I see no reason why we can't go in there.
You just give you the way a season goes, what games become important and for what reasons. But the Ravens just lost to the Colts. It's very important to beat the Colts now because that's like opponents. When it gets down to it, if this is going to be a neck and neck division, something simple like opponents can be what gets you the division or a wild card.
Right. If we beat Baltimore, okay. And then,
and by the way, Jeff, we don't have to go to San Francisco after the bye. They're coming to us.
Well, true. I'm just saying in terms of playing them.
Yeah, really, I know. But I mean, it's nice that
we got home.
Now this is a West Coast team that has proven they can come travel east and play a 1 o'clock game and still perform well. They stomped the Steelers opening week.
Right.
Okay.
Now. So we got San Francisco, we're going to Indianapolis, we should win. We go to Seattle, that's going to be a harder game than Indianapolis, obviously, but I think we should win that as well. I do not think that's a game we should mark as a loss. Joshua
Dobbs is looking pretty good with those Cardinals, guys.
Now, the Cardinals, we go into the Cardinals. Josh Dobbs is looking good. He'll be up for that game.
Oh, they're coming to us. They're coming to us, though.
They're coming to us.
Yeah.
He'll be up for that game. But we should win that. Then we have Baltimore. Then
it's Baltimore. Then it's the Steelers.
Then we have the Steelers. Those are going to be tough games. All division games are going to be marked as tough. Then we have the Broncos. We should win that.
Broncos, Rams, Jags, Bears. We should win all four of those.
Yeah. Our schedule really is not that hard when you compare it to, we didn't get a hard strength of schedule this year. Now the Rams, that's going to be a tough game. That's an elite game. Jaguars, if you base it off of power rankings at the beginning of the year, should be an elite game. Who knows by the time we get there. Chicago, that could be an elite game.
I don't know with the way Justin Fields is playing. Okay, he's looking like,
I really have not looked.
He is looking like a bust 3 years in.
Yeah, but he has no line.
Well, okay, he has no line, but he has no game either.
Yeah, they just got beat 41-10. That's right. They were the ones that got beat.
Justin Fields looks terrible, line or no line. Okay?
I got a question for you guys. What in the standings, we're listed three under the Ravens and Steelers. Right. What category puts them above us?
We lost to the Steelers.
Well, we lost to the Steelers, so that's clearly why we're below them.
Okay.
All right. I mean, Ravens, you can't be above a team that you lost.
Look at points for and against. If they got more points for, I mean, they don't have a better divisional record than us.
In general sense, if you're tied with a team, okay, you're if you lost to them, if you're losing the season series basically against them, you're going to be ranked below them.
But I had the same question. Why are the Ravens ahead of?
It's got to be points for or against.
Because
what's always used. No. What's always 70. Used is what's always used after that for general rankings. If a team hasn't played each other, if those teams haven't faced each other, it's who has the better split between points for and against.
We're 73-32. Ravens are 71-55.
Okay, if they have a bigger plus, it doesn't matter if you've allowed the least amount of points. It's your plus two, the amount you've allowed.
Okay. And Steelers are 56-70.
Well, it wouldn't matter. They were head-to-head one against us, Hugh.
Okay.
That's what puts them against us.
That doesn't matter. Yeah, that is a secondary. Your plus, your for and against is a secondary to your season split. We are below them on the season split. We lost to them. Anytime we're in a tie with the Steelers, they will always, no matter what, be ranked in front of us.
Until we split with them when we beat them when they come to town November 19th.
Right, exactly.
And then it'll go to points for and against.
Right.
So if the defense keeps pitching low games, it's still, you're good.
Right. What generally, defense is generally what ends up winning you that points for or against at the end of the season. You take it in these first couple of weeks, these are when scores are a lot more fluctuated and higher and out of whack. And that's why the Baltimore's ahead of us.
I can't remember the show that comes on NFL Network on the radio. But I just every morning, Charlie Weiss is on it. Ex-coach, used to be, you know, Notre Dame coach, used to be offensive coordinator for Bill Belichick. But anyway, coach basically said of the Browns, you know, the good thing is defense travels. Right. Defense travels, guys. You know, and your offense may, you know, have out of sync days and everything, but defense travels. You take it with you where you go. Crowd noise don't matter to the defense. Because, you know, when your defense is on the field, their crowd's trying to be quiet for their offense.
Yep.
Okay. Defense travels, baby. Defense will get you there.
And to finish out the stuff with the schedule.
Uh-huh.
I mean, we got Denver. Obviously, I said Rams will be an elite game. Jacksonville should be an elite game if you base it off. I said nothing about the Bears. Didn't realize how bad the Bears are doing.
Oh, yeah, they're doing really bad. Yeah.
That should be a win. The Texans should be a win.
Texans, yeah.
That should be a win. The Jets.
Yeah, that should be a win. Aaron Rodgers ain't there.
And you end it with Cincinnati, which for us could technically be a win, but by the end of the season, that could be an elite game too. Okay.
Hey, Jeff.
So
it could be for all the marbles.
Based on last night's game, I don't know if that Rams is an elite game or
not. No, I'm not basing that off of that. What I'm saying is that right now, If you,
I mean, they do every the way the,
if you look at the way the Rams are operating right now, Cooper Kupp is out, and you want to know what the best receiver in the league is?
Cooper Kupp.
A Rams receiver. A Rams receiver.
No, that guy whose name I can't remember, but yeah.
And he's on pace right now. Last time I looked, his on pace numbers were to beat like all of Cooper Kupp's stuff. Okay. I'm not, they lost the game, whatever. I'm not counting them out. The way they're playing, it's like they went back a season before. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, whether they keep it up or not, I'll have to see them not keep it up to not count
the return of Odell Beckham Jr. with the Ravens. Here's the thing. He did not play last week. He's out with an ankle injury. Whether or not he'll be on the field or not, we don't know. We can keep your eye on the injury report. Okay. But the return of OBJ to Cleveland. We got to put him down, man. We got to put him down.
Well,
limit to the degree we can, Lamar Jackson, because their running game is hurt. J.K. Dobbins is out for the year. J.K. Dobbins, is that his name? Yeah, he's out. He's out. Just like we're out. Nick Chubb, their leading running back, is out. So it's just going to be an interesting game.
Like, let's take this for instance, right? Talking about the Rams real quick. And on the fact of whether that should be considered a league game or not. I mean, they lost against the Bengals, and we're just talking about that. We could sit here and the Bengals
really lucked up, boy.
The Bengals
could end up being real close.
I mean, it's not like it was a layover dead, and it's not like we can sit. The Bengals are in our division. Our division was pegged as the toughest division in the league this year in pre-rankings, okay? We can't sit here and have the look at the game. Oh, yeah,
everybody and their brother had the Bengals going to the Super Bowl. They were anointed. Yeah, I mean,
you cannot sit here and have a game where a team loses against the Bengals. They're two losses. These are the Rams' two losses, while we're sitting here trying to say they may not be elite. San Francisco, who we have to say is elite. And the Bengals, who all intents and purposes have all the talent to be elite, they started this season, their last season, this same exact way, okay? And they ended up elite, okay? To me, they just lost against two elite teams, okay? Now, is that good for the Rams and they didn't even come up with a split against what you would say is their competition in their green right now, elite teams they're supposed to be in that? Yes, that's bad. But I really don't think that's the... You can make that correlation to the Rams have derailed here. Okay.
No. And if indications for the Rams look like they're going to not be good, I guarantee you a move they're going to make, what you will see happen, and you'll know if the Rams aren't taking themselves seriously this year, because they will trade Aaron Donald before the deadline.
You think so?
Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Why?
Because of the position they've put themselves into with cap and other things. You remember when they mortgaged their future to go to the Super Bowl? Oh, come on. Think of all the moves the Browns have made. All right. And just imagine if they keep pitching this defense and they win like three more games and you're coming up to trade deadline, right? You might even see the Browns be one of the teams interested in getting him.
I mean, that would be...
I mean, you're talking about adding personnel. Listen, Ndamukong Suh has not signed with anybody, guys, and he's waiting to identify the team he's going to sign with that he thinks is going to the Super Bowl, and it could be the Browns.
And man, look, and what I'm saying is that's quite possible if you look at you take from the standpoint you look at the defensive coordinator you have. Okay.
Uh-huh. That's right.
Then who used to be
what was his first head coach? Jim Schwartz. Yeah.
So I mean, what I'm saying is if the Browns can honestly, I think if the Browns string together Baltimore, San Francisco, you could see something like that happening fairly early. Okay. Now a guy like that, obviously, he's he's going to be his best because you're bringing in a fresh body, and that's basically what he's been doing into a team that he's picking to try to get himself to the Super Bowl. And you're throwing a fresh body in there mid-season, and yeah, I mean.
And listen, I don't think it'll happen, but, you know, you got a game and then a bye coming up, right? And if all you get out of your running backs is what you've just seen, okay, in another game, maybe with a week off to think about it, the Browns say, hey, you know, let's trade for Jonathan Taylor.
I could, you know what I could definitely see happening here? I could see the Browns, if let's say we win against Baltimore and we win against San Francisco, right? Let's say we win those two games. And now it's got front office and the Browns, Browns fans, whole Browns nation. We're like, okay, I mean, we got something here, right? And you go into your next two games, you win two of them, maybe you win one of them, maybe you drop two, maybe win all of them, right? And you're sitting there looking at the record and like, okay, what else can we do? What's the extra oomph? Okay. I can see Jonathan Taylor doing it.
They've definitely put themselves in a position cap space wise.
Right. I could see them at that point going for Jonathan Taylor. And I could also see at that point them getting him for what they want.
Oh, why? Yeah, because there's nobody giving the Colts what they want, okay?
Exactly. So what I'm saying is I could see something being worked out to where the Browns get him at more of an advantage to themselves in that, but being that Jonathan Taylor will get what he wants. He'll get on a team, okay, and be able to play sort of for a contract, even if that contract isn't for us.
Right, exactly.
Okay. And the Colts would be able to unload him.
But as far as, okay.
For anything. Okay.
I mean, as far as insurance policies go over the potential, because listen, Chubb's coming back 6 to 8 months, but what's Chubb going to be when he gets back? Nobody knows.
Nobody knows. True, but you don't have to make a decision right then whether you're going to keep Jonathan Taylor.
No, you don't. You can see. You play him out, but he's there and available for you to sign if Chubb's not looking like it's going to be.
Right. Exactly.
That's what I'm saying. It also works a smart move.
If it could work out to be a very smart move, just because if the Browns are in position, they're saying we're to compete. What are you to lose if it's your Jonathan Taylor to not want that? Okay. Take the short contract, even if it's a year or whatever.
Not only that, listen,
you have a chance to win a Super Bowl.
Players understand this. If you have a defense that's the top defense in the league, okay, that's a team that's headed toward deep postseason play, because defense wins championships, guys.
No, I mean, I'm just saying from the stand, what I was about to say, I get that part. That's even deeper than what I'm saying. I'm saying from the standpoint of being a running back and you're trying to earn yourself a contract.
I understand.
I can't see a better situation than if a team is in position or you feel they're in position to get to the playoffs, play a year for them.
Well, knowing you're going to get to the playoffs. But everybody wants a chip. Everybody wants a chip. Okay. Yeah. You know, the chip is the ultimate goal. And if the Cleveland Browns look like they're going there, and listen, if Deshaun, imagine this now, and it's not hard to imagine at this point, Deshaun gets progressively better each week and the defense stays consistent.
Well, let's think about it this way. What did we just see happen last year with McCaffrey?
Right.
Didn't we just see this exact same thing we're talking about happen with McCaffrey?
Yes, we did.
Exact same thing. Now, McCaffrey is playing for the San Francisco 49ers, and he's blowing it up this year. He's the best running back in the league thus far. Okay? Now, I'm not saying that we end up keeping Jonathan Taylor if we do it, but it does nothing but works out for Jonathan Taylor if he goes there and is able to strut his stuff into the playoffs. Okay?
Right.
And then you want to talk about getting your contract, go to that team, help them get to the playoffs, show off who you are then. Okay. So that, I know the agent's trying to get him that contract. Oh, if nobody's willing to get him that contract, the best way to try to get that contract is to take a team.
At some point he has to be on the field.
Yeah. You got to be on the field in the playoffs is the best.
Right.
The playoffs erases a lot of concerns in anything.
Okay, get to the playoffs and perform. Look, matter of fact, get to the playoffs and be a performer in the playoffs, right? Then somebody will be putting you on the team, yeah, trying to get you, you know, on the field in the playoffs.
Speaking of Rich Eisen again, I'm listening to him the other day, and it's simple. Look at, if you're Jonathan Taylor, how frustrated do you have to be because they're telling other teams we want a first round pick? And he's saying, wait, well, if I'm that valuable, just pay me that value. Well, no, we're not going to pay you. But we're gonna value you that high by what we want to get for you, but we don't want to pay you that money.
But that's what I'm saying is this is okay. This is the world of running backs, and what I just said too. Okay, If they're not getting to the playoffs, okay, and you're a running back, it's like useless talent to them. Okay, that's true. It's the truth because it's the easiest thing to come by of decent caliber. Okay. Of decent caliber. Now, elite caliber? No, it's not. And this is the weird out part about it, because the Colts basically have a elite caliber running back that they kind of don't want to pay, but they want the residuals.
You know what I can't help perceiving when I watch Jerome Ford run? His legs look so fragile.
Well, I mean,
especially in the especially below the knee, it's like, oh my God, he's going to get hurt.
Well. Before I comment on that,
I'm used to looking at Chubb. I'm used to looking at Chubb. Okay. Yeah.
Before I comment on that, back to the Jonathan Taylor thing is Jonathan Taylor has a chance to be able to prove if obviously he's working against the Colts accepting something. Okay. But I'm not to believe that they probably won't make a trade by like midseason and take whatever the best package is for them.
Well, if the Browns get him, I guarantee you, we ain't giving up nothing higher than a fourth for him. Okay.
They should. Okay. Yeah. And to go with that, whatever team ends up getting him, hopefully they're in playoff position, because the easiest way for him to speak towards I should get this kind of contract is to be on a team that's in the playoffs running it. I mean, we've seen too many good backs not get because they weren't on a team in the playoffs. That's the nature of the running back position. It sucks. Okay. Unless you are a clear, ridiculous standout. The thing that helps Chubb and Derrick Henry are that they're past the standout. They're ridiculous. Okay. That is the truth. And most people kind of downplay it, but those two are literally heads and shoulders, the most ridiculous talents of running back in the league right now. Those two guys.
What do you think about Jerry Jeudy? He's running for the Broncos right now.
He's, I'd have to watch him run.
Okay. There's rumors. That the Browns may be interested in trading with the Broncos to get Jeudy, who may be available after an 0-3 start.
Okay. I'd have to look and watch him run. Okay. What? I'll tell you this. Okay. I'm a Barry Sanders fan. Okay. My childhood was watching Barry Sanders and being amazed by it. Okay. If you watch certain guys run, you see a difference. You can tell when a running back is when they're elite, it's the decision making. Okay. When you watch Chubb run, it's not just, and it's the, what is the difference between like Hunt and Chubb? Okay. You watch Hunt run and you watch Chubb run. Chubb's decision making on where he goes. Okay.
Right.
And how he runs and his how do you say it? Like, his footwork and everything and how he positions himself to lose the least amount of speed while he's making whatever move. It's ridiculous. Okay.
Yeah, it is. It is.
And Derrick Henry is no more off of that mold. Now, what I will say to this, if there was a running back right now, if you went from stats from the past three seasons that you would put as close to those guys, it would be either to me. Okay. Even though he's out a whole season of that, the running skills are there as well, it would be Jonathan Taylor or maybe Saquon Barkley. Okay.
Yeah. Saquon Barkley's out for the year too.
Right. Okay. It'd be one of those two guys. Are there other very good backs in the league I'm probably missing and they have some good skills about them? Yes. But when you watch and you just watch for like all the right decisions being made almost all the time. Okay.
they ain't. It's not too far out of just Derrick Henry and Nick Chubb to me. Like, right. There's guys that have done some more explosive things and stuff over the league. I think there's guys faster than Henry, stronger than Chubb. Okay, faster than Chubb. All these things, probably not stronger than Henry. Okay, I didn't go stronger than Henry.
Why is Najee Harris doing better?
Because he's not playing.
Well, I mean, Najee Harris got shut down by the Browns.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, my thing about Najee Harris, I'll say something about Najee Harris. I do not put him in the same mold as Chubb. I think, do you want to know what I honestly think? I think Najee Harris is a very good running back. And he's been very good for the Steelers, and he is ahead of steam, and he's the kind of running back that they need. But when I'm talking about is pure every down skilled back, okay? And this, like I'm saying, you have to watch to be able to get what I'm saying. It's like the difference of watching, say like two games where guys have put up like 80 points, right? And then watching how Kobe Bryant did it versus another guy did it. Let's just say there was those two. The skill in the foot positioning and the shots and everything is going to be different. And that's why you get a lot of times, even though Kobe didn't put up bigger stats than some other guys, guys like, no, but if you watch him, man, if you watch him, he's the best guy on the court. Regardless, it makes you think he was the second best player of all time, or he should be up there with Jordan, regardless of maybe the stats may not be as good. You're watching it's the skill and what he's doing. It's like watching Kyrie. Kyrie is honestly, he won't go down as one of the best players ever as far as like bloating of stats. But if you watch Kyrie, he's one of the most skilled guys with a ball that has ever played. Okay. Mm-hmm. The things he can do with a ball, the positioning he puts himself in is ridiculous. That's what I'm talking about. It when the difference in you see of like Chubb and stuff, and why hopefully he gets to play out the rest of his career. He'll be a Hall of Famer, and he'll be a special Hall of Famer. Okay, it's like watching the Steelers had one. Go watch some Jerome Bettis, man.
Yeah,
Jerome's Bettis's balance as a running back. I sat there and watched that guy. Okay, when I was little, there's still not guys you can compare to that kind of running. His balance of being a guy that big and as fast as he was for running back, like you underestimate the twinkle toes that guy had. Okay. Like that's what I'm talking about. That's when you get those special backs, is because it's the way they're able to make their body go back north and south so quick, not lose the speed, be able to make the moves. Okay. And that's what makes an elite running back. And that's what I'm saying. When you start hearing people compare running backs and stuff like that, it's the actual eye test of that, because you get too many times where running backs just have a hole. Okay, and you see them run through a hole and you're like, ah, they went through the hole. But sometimes if you watch how they go through those holes, okay, because you wonder, okay, well, if that hole's like that, why was one running back able to get it and the other one not able to get those yards? It's because of how they run through the hole and the decision making of how quick it was to find which hole and which ones to run to. Okay.
I'm hoping that Chubb will have some heart to heart with Hunt and give him some knowledge.
Nah, you can't teach that kind of stuff. Nah. You gotta come off of that. That's past the teaching stuff. That's past the normal teaching stuff. This is the reason why guys like Emmitt Smith, Barry Sanders, Gale Sayers, your other elite running backs were good. You can't teach that. You're not gonna teach that. That's something that if that running back learns it, he'll watch somebody learn it, or he'll pick that stuff up or want to learn it. To me, that's not stuff you can sit down on the bench and that one running back to another teach that to somebody. Yeah, I don't think that's possible. The normal running back stuff that would make you elite and get you got to remember, all these guys already have that. Okay, they're in the NFL. That's how they got there. Okay.
Right.
Those extra tangible stuff. If you're at that point and you're at this level and you're able to see That's what you're missing in your game, saying, oh, this guy's balance. Is this that? Do you have to be willing to learn that? I don't think you can have another guy sit down next to a guy and go, hey, I'll teach you this.
Here's something off subject for you guys. Speaking of football leagues, does anybody watch the LFL?
No.
That's the lingerie. That's the lingerie football league.
I bet there's a lot of
scantily clad women in scantily clad women wearing underwear and shoulder pads playing each other in the game of football. And they are playing football, boys. Okay. I'm telling you, it is something to watch. It is something to watch. I'm just saying to you that it is something to watch. I'm not even sure if I like it, but you can't stop watching it. Okay. It's amazing.
What network is that on?
I watch the games on YouTube.
Oh, they're on YouTube. So it's lingerie. Yeah. What is
LFL.
It called?
LFL. Yeah. Lingerie Football League.
Lingerie Football League. And okay.
The Toledo has a team, the Toledo Crush. They evidently, the Lingerie Football League's been around for quite some time.
Oh, I had no idea. That is so brand new. I was today years old when I found that out.
Yeah, but I'm looking here at a 2014 game between the Atlanta Steam and the Toledo Crush. So that was back in 2014. What year is it now? So they've been doing this for like 10 years. Okay.
I'm just saying. Oh, wow.
Yeah, the Lingerie Football League. It was this year that I became aware that it existed. And I don't even know when their season is. Okay. It's just you gotta watch a game just to see it. It's amazing.
Ah, man. Well,
okay, guys.
I'm proud of our Browns.
Of course. Now, real quick, before we get the hell out of here, any predictions for the game coming Sunday with the Ravens visiting Cleveland Stadium?
I predict a win, and I predict a 27-21 victory.
Really, you think the Browns are going to allow 21 points?
Yeah. Yep. I think this is the first time.
They're blowing their number one defense ranking by doing that. I just hope you know.
I understand, but this is Lamar Jackson.
I don't care. I think that the Browns are going to win 24-3. Okay.
Okay, let's do it again. Let's score every game 24 points for Nick Chubb.
And maybe, okay, and I give him possibly 6 because, you know, they got, what's his name, kicking the field goal. You know.
You cannot kick. What's his name?
It's not coming to me right now. So.
God.
If you younger people can't remember it, how do you expect me to?
It's Mr. He's Mr. Accurate. I know that.
That's true. That's exactly right.
You want to say Jason something, but
no, Jason. That's the guy from the horror movies. He wears a hockey mask. That's a different guy.
Right.
I'll tell you it in a second.
I was going to look it up real quick.
Justin Tucker.
Yeah, I knew it was a J.
You know how I found it, right? I typed in Ravens kicker in a Google search, and it came up.
Yeah.
Well, my Google's faster than yours.
No, you just type quicker than that.
Well, my Google's probably faster than yours too. I got a hard line connection here. You're dealing with Wi-Fi. It's clearly fast.
I have the fastest Google ever. Stop.
I would say I'm not too sure what to pick on score. This game, it could go so many different ways, but I would perceive it's going to be a low scoring game and a tough game for us to win. I think between both teams.
Okay.
And I would have us coming out 17-14.
17-14. You got the Browns giving up 2 touchdowns, huh? No, I don't. I don't think they allow a touchdown. I think all the Ravens get are field goals.
I'm giving due respect to Lamar Jackson. I mean, I get that. I get you're not. I am.
I'm not.
I am. It's a division game. I think they're going to come in and play us tougher than anything else. They're off of a small loss. Baltimore and Pittsburgh love coming to us after losses and playing better than they've played all season. Okay, this like historic like fact stuff.
I think the Ravens are going to be so scared to take the field they're going to forfeit.
Yeah, I don't see that happening.
No.
Okay. Hey, but what I would love to do this year, what I would love to do this year is us finally stuff them, win both games against them this year. So is the start to it. Okay.
Did Paul do ayahuasca before that dream that you had about them forfeiting?
That's really happening. You don't believe me. You just wait. You wait till Sunday. Okay. Anyway.
But I'm giving the respect to Lamar Jackson here because he can do other things to help his team win. This will be the
We're shutting the run game down and the passing game down though. So what can he do other than run and pass?
That's
it. We're shutting both of those down. We're leading the league in both run. I mean, come on. Come on.
A lot easier said than done. So let's look at just a small tidbit into Lamar Jackson so far this year. He's trying to pull up his stat line here thus far this season. He's sitting at 73.3 completion percentage. Okay. He's thrown for 608 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. Okay.
Okay.
He's having a decent season thus far. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know how good his last game was or not. Okay. He's doing slightly better than our quarterback's doing. Okay.
But if you judge him on his last game, not.
This is, like I said, I don't know how, I didn't look at his stats from his last game.
It wasn't very good.
But it's a totality of season he's doing all right. And we know he's a guy who he comes out on top quite often in close games.
Highly competitive individual.
Right. Close games, he's very competitive there in close games. So it would be in our best interest to make sure there is distance and scoring in this game. I just don't know how you get me. I don't know how easy that is. These one of those teams that love to play us real tough and games tend to be closer no matter what.
That's before this year.
And I'm counting on that. I'm counting on that. So
all right, guys. What's your prediction, Paul?
What I already gave you my prediction.
What was the score? Did you
24-3? I said it.
24-3. Okay, my bad. Yeah. Hey, in other news, a Cleveland Heights born football player named Travis Kelce is going out with Taylor Swift.
Yeah, whatever.
I was like, what the hell?
Whatever. Anyway, guys, because in the interest of my ass getting to bed tonight, okay, we got to go. We got to go. So anything else is related to the game that you want to look for or bring people's attention to?
That's it. Go Browns and improvement with Deshaun Watson.
Yeah. Continued improvement for Deshaun. I certainly want to see that. Just continued performance from the defense. And I think I would like to see, we need somebody other than DPJ back there fielding kicks. He sucks.
Yeah.
He's a great receiver. I love him at the receiver. He does not wind my watch receiving punts.
What about their new receiver we got from the Jets?
Elijah Moore.
I don't think they want to put too much on.
I mean, right now, if you wanted to ask me about Elijah Moore, what about Elijah Moore? I don't know. What about him? Because right now it ain't paying off. I can tell you that the trade ain't paying off. Elijah Moore's offense hasn't done anything really to help us yet.
To me, I don't think you're going to start seeing too much of him paying off until we've seen Watson start to get the deep ball.
Exactly.
I mean, until that happens, I mean, you're kind of losing his spot that he's supposed to take advantage on the team, and that's him burning somebody. So,
right.
So, I mean, you know, I want it to work out, but again, Deshaun really has to bring his skill set up to par, and I think it's heading, it's trending in that direction, and that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, listen, if Deshaun likes Kevin Stefanski and he wants to keep him around, okay, because a losing year this year is gonna get you a new head coach next year in Cleveland,
right?
So, if anybody wants to maintain continuity at the head coach, needs to make sure they win,
right?
And having said that, let me say this. That does it for another episode of TBF, a Browns Fans Podcast. When we talk to you next, we'll be talking about the manhandling, the domination, the defeat of the Baltimore Ravens at the hands of the Cleveland Browns and Jim Schwartz defense with just enough offense to get by. Yeah. In the meantime, the in-between time, till it's that time, what time's that time for us to talk to you about the victorious Cleveland Browns? This is Paul, Hugh, and Jeff for TBF, a Browns Fans Podcast, saying we're out.
This has been a Basement Tapes production.